president says the country aims to reach the point where it would no longer need to export its crude oil. Iran's minister says the advances in the country's oil sector renders ineffectiveness of illegal US-engineered sanctions. Iranian army successfully test fires two short-range missiles during a day-long military exercise. Syria strongly condemns a decision by France and Britain to supply arms to foreign-backed rebels. And multiple bomb explosions rocked Baghdad's heavily fortified Green Zone, leaving scores dead and injured. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, the Iranian president says the Islamic Republic aims to reach the point where it would no longer need to export its crude oil. Addressing the inauguration ceremony of the country's biggest gasoline plant at Shazand Imam Khomeini Refinery in the central Markazi province, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said the number of the country's oil refineries should double to reach such an aim, which would be beneficial for the country, efforts must be made. He said refining Iranian crude oil in domestic refineries would generate 3 to 4 times more revenue for the country. He also noted that the inauguration of biggest gasoline plant in the country is a proof that Iran has achieved self-sufficiency in oil refinery construction and does not need foreign assistance in this regard. He further called on the Iranian oil industry officials to make their utmost efforts to design and build fully indigenous refineries and even export their expertise. He also criticized the West's illegal unilateral sanctions on Iran's energy sector, saying that the bans show that the bullying nature of the countries which have adopted them. Now, also on the sidelines of the ceremony at Shazand Imam Khomeini Refinery, Iran's oil minister this time said that the advances in the country's oil sector have rendered ineffectiveness of the illegal US-engineered sanctions imposed on the Islamic Republic. Rostam Qasemi added that the hegemonic system and the Western countries whose economic conditions are deteriorating are the main losers of the anti-Iran oil embargoes. He further said that the government has comprehensive plans on its agenda to reduce the country's dependence on oil revenues. On the new oil refinery, the Iranian oil minister said that the refinery is expected to produce 16 million liters of gasoline per day, conforming to Euro 4 and Euro 5 standards, adding that the plans include stopping the sales of crude oil and instead focusing on oil processing. Now, the ground forces of the Iranian army have successfully test-fired two short-range missiles during a day-long military exercise in the central city of Kashan. The Thursday maneuver was aimed at maintaining the preparedness and enhancing the defensive capabilities of the forces, rockets launching and missile units. The indigenous Nazaat 10 and Fajr 5 hit their targets during the latest military exercise of the ground forces. Fajr 5 is a 333mm surface-to-surface artillery rocket. The missile has a maximum range of 75 kilometers. Nazaat 10, however, is also a middle-range ballistic missile with a range of about 100 kilometers. Over the past few years, Iran has held several military drills to enhance the defensive capabilities of its armed forces and to test modern military tactics and equipment. The Islamic Republic has repeatedly assured other nations, especially its neighbors, that its military might poses no threat to other countries. Moving on, Syria has strongly condemned a decision by France and Britain to supply arms to foreign-backed militants fighting against the central government. Damascus on Thursday called the decision a flagrant violation of international law. Paris and London have said they will send weapons to the militants even if the European Union objects to the move. The French foreign minister noted that the two European countries have what he called a duty to help the militants. He said France and Britain will soon ask for an EU meeting to order the immediate lifting of the current embargoes on sending arms to Syria, which is due to expire in May. Human Rights Monitor said in a report on Thursday that the terrorists routinely kill captured soldiers and people loyal to the Syrian government. Still on that, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman says terrorists would become the final users of arms shipments intended for the so-called Syrian opposition. Alexander Lukashevich said in a recent meeting of Arab League in Cairo, it has been confirmed that a seat would be granted to a representative of the Syrian insurgents group within the league. He said this decision's clauses envisage a possibility of arms supply to insurgents, and adding that it is easy to understand who would become the final user of that military aid, and reiterated Moscow's position that mutual understanding between the Syrian government and the opposition must be re-established in order to start dialogue and negotiations. He said Moscow's contacts with various groups demonstrate that such a chance exists, which must be used in the interest of the Syrian people and not to the interests of Syria's ill-wishers. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Bahrain. Police have clashed with youth protesting on Thursday against the deployment of Saudi Arabian forces into the Persian Gulf country that backed Manama's bid to crush a popular uprising. Police fired tear gas and sound bombs to disperse hundreds who took to the streets across villages, chanting "No, no Saudi occupiers" and "Down King Hamad." The protesters blocked main roads to the villages using large tree trunks, garbage containers, and burning tires, and hurled petrol bombs and stones at police. No casualties were reported. On March 14, 2011, Saudi forces rolled into Bahrain to help quell the uprising in the strategic Persian Gulf kingdom, where protesters had camped for a month in the capital's financial center. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Iranian president says the country aims to reach the point where it would no longer need to export its crude. Iran's oil minister says the advances in the country's oil sector render ineffectiveness of illegal use engineered sanctions. Iranian army successfully test fires two short-range missiles during a day-long maneuver. Syria strongly condemns the decision by France and Britain to supply arms to foreign-backed rebels. And multiple bomb explosions rock Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone, leaving scores dead and injured. Multiple bomb explosions have targeted Iraqi's ministry in Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone, leaving at least 25 people dead and 50 others injured. The attacks took place around 1 a.m. local time within 5 minutes when gunmen blew up three cars and another believed to be a suicide bombing near some government buildings in the capital. One of the car bombs was close to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and another went off outside nearby buildings of Telecommunication Institute in Alavi district. A third car bomb ripped through the area near the Ministry of Culture, a few hundred meters away from the Ministry of Justice in the district of Salhiya. The car bombings were apparently made to distort the attention of security forces to pave the way for gunmen and suicide bombers to enter the Justice Ministry. The suicide bomber blew himself at the entrance of the Justice Ministry, and no group has so far claimed responsibility for the attacks. Now, many Iraqis are still living with the shadow of loss of their loved ones during the US-led war in the country, which caused some hundreds of thousands of casualties. Here's the story of one of these Iraqi families.
My mother was sick, so we took her to the hospital. We set off before sunset, and when we returned back, the sun had already set, and all of a sudden, Americans appeared in front of us, opening fire on us immediately, without questioning. They fired at us immediately. I remember everything. When I sit alone, my mind goes astray and I start to cry. Then I run out of house.
Summer is not a normal girl. She suffers a strong shock because when the incident happened, she went out of car and she saw her mother, father and brother covered with blood. She was bloodied too. This picture is imprinted in her memory. She needs treatment.
When we heard that our father and mother had died, we realized that we were in a big trouble. We do not have relatives, no uncles, and no one. We were left alone. What was my guilt? And what was the guilt of my sister?
Moving on, in Europe, recent reports show that in years to come, Greece will face even more wage cuts, with something that people blame on unpopular economic policies. Here is more on that.
Hundreds of Greeks took to the streets of Athens today in the context of a rally held under the auspices of the main public sector umbrella syndicate AVEVI, many years after the signature of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Troika of International Creditors. Social and economic discontent is indeed swelling throughout the country, with unemployment levels hitting 27% and the public debt to GDP ratio over 180% and rising. While some primary surpluses start making their appearance among public economic figures, wage and salary cuts are still multiplying while unemployment and suicide rates keep surging endlessly. Most Greeks see no end in sight at the end of the tunnel, despite efforts of the government to convince them of the opposite. Today's rally started on the central Klathmonos Square on Stadiou Street in Athens at 3:30 p.m. local time. Public workers opposed government plans to streamline the civil service through mergers, privatizations, and possible layoffs, mounting up to more than 150,000 people by the end of 2015. The protest coincides with rallies planned by the European Trade Union Confederation across the continent on the same day, and although not very well attended, today's demonstration sent a clear message that public sector employees need more attention. Meanwhile, the country is at the brink of social explosion of the so-called productive social groups who are tapped to put back the Greek economy on track and start producing again are facing scores of unemployment that, despite the trenches of financial assistance and the bailouts, fail to decrease. In this context, Prime Minister Samaras is expected to fly to Brussels on Thursday morning for further negotiations, according to high-level sources within the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Development and youth unemployment are the two main topics that the Prime Minister will put on the table. Employees within the public sector took to the streets today to demonstrate against the protracted austerity imposed upon them, including salary cuts and wage cuts. Yet the main taboo topic of layoffs within the public sector has not been finalized, and in this context, the scheduled trip of Prime Minister Antoni Samaras to Brussels today for Wednesday has been postponed for tomorrow morning. This says a lot. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
Now, still in Europe, thousands of protesters from several European countries march on Thursday through the streets of Brussels to protest austerity ahead of an EU leaders' summit expected to focus on austerity debate and social crisis. Demonstrators later gathered at a park close to the European district where the EU leaders' summit was set to take place later in the day. Organized by the European Trade Union Confederation, the demonstration also included delegations from other European countries, including Greece, Germany, Italy, France, and Slovenia.
Austerity does not work. In short, austerity is socially unfair because it hurts those who are victims of crisis. It's economically stupid because it does not work. We have seen in Greece and everywhere in Europe, austerity is counterproductive. It kicks companies out of business. It puts people in misery. What we want is another policy that is intelligent and creates sustainable growth. Fed up and united. Solidarity as well, but mostly fed up. We all are subjected to the same dictates. This must come to an end. These austerity measures, these never-ending closures, and unfortunately we think it is not the end of it. We really need politicians to be courageous for 5 minutes so they can take their responsibilities and put an end to this kind of carnage.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.